water. When the time comes and service disruption hits, and that time is probably at hand now as we're going to see the chaos spread throughout the country through these embedded cells that have been taking up arms here for 6 years in America, you're going to not have continuity of service. And we saw one day the shelves were empty in Katrina, one day for Houston. You need food and water. So let's talk about the food very quickly. 25-year shelf life. Restaurant quality, 70% off sales. You need to get to 6 months, but we sell 2 and 4 week packets to help ease the burden of not having to do that all at once. But I'd recommend expediting your purchase if at all possible. No glyphosates, no GMOs. It's great tasting food, a lot of variety. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And on the other side of this is the water. The Alexa Pure Pro filter is the best that's out there. And believe me, I've looked at them all. One straw can treat 5,000 gallons. And it's at a rock bottom price right now for the holidays. You're never going to see this price again. Very reasonably priced. Go to waterwithdave.com and get the device that will take the chromium 6 out of your water. 218 million of you have it. What is that? It's cancer causing. Causes bladder and kidney cancer. What else does it do? It takes out the pharmaceuticals, takes out the lead. Alexa Pure Pro, go to waterwithdave.com. There you have the food and water, and we hope we're helping you get ready here on the Common Sense Show. Well, we have a very special guest. As I mentioned, Paul Preston from Agenda 21 Radio is here to enlighten us as to what's going on. And we could literally have Paul on every day, and we'd have new stories because this stuff is happening so fast. I can't keep up. I just said to my wife just about a minute ago, I almost have to make an appointment to go to the restroom now because things are happening so quickly. I literally cannot keep up. Paul, I'm sure you're feeling overwhelmed too. Welcome to the show. Glad you could be with us.
Well, Dave, thank you very much for having me. And yeah, I think we're all kind of feeling overwhelmed at this point. the whole population. And if anybody's out there really paying attention to the news, it becomes very, very problematic.
Problematic is really putting it nicely. I wish I just had a problem. It kind of reminds me in third grade and I had to learn to do long division. That was a problem.
Yeah.
okay. This is a lot more insurmountable what's going on here. Well, let me give us a starting point here right now. As you live in California, and you're somewhat closer to the border action than many people across the country internationally who are listening to us on the Common Sense Show, I'm sure you have concerns about the storming of the barricades, the fences at the border, and I'm sure you have concerns as a Border Patrol agent actually went on CNN. They tried to cut him off, and he said, yeah, they're putting women and children up front and then throwing rocks at us from behind, and we're having a hard time responding because we don't want to hurt innocent people, but we have a right to protect ourselves. And it seems like there's an intent on the part of these invaders not to just get into the United States but to injure U.S. personnel.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah. So they had the guy on CNN. What did CNN do?
Well, they couldn't get him off quick enough because they didn't anticipate he was going to put the women and children in front. And by the way, I've developed a very good source inside DHS. He told me a month ago this was coming, mm-hmm. and he was deployed to the border to prepare for such eventualities. They've been training the Border Patrol on how to deal with it, and they're training them how to fire into the crowd while missing the front line of the women and children. And by fire to the crowd, I'm talking about tear gas canisters and rubber bullets.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, you know, Dave, you and so many other people, we've been predicting these days, and here they are, and they're just beginning, and they're really kind of panning out as almost textbook fashion as we thought in terms of the numbers of individuals, the types of individuals, like you have these males that are, you know, like, and they started admitting this, actually, really. The first ones were Fox News a couple of weeks ago when they started admitting that, at least 85% of the people in the caravan are males 35 years and younger. Well, gee, what could possibly go wrong with that group of people? And, of course, talking about the women and children up front and all that. Finally, that dialogue has been going on, and now it's sort of reached its zenith, apparently, when the CNN couldn't quite cover it up today. But it's a reality. This is how they play. This is the war that they play.
You're absolutely right. And there's something else they're playing, too. And I don't know if you have caught up with this, but I recently did an article on this, and I have come across sources inside our own intel communities, two of them to be exact, who have told me that George Soros and the United Nations are funding people to enter into the alternative media. And they said, you'll be able to recognize them, Dave, because you know how you're shadow banned and your numbers are down like everybody else. These people's numbers aren't down and they're never interfered with. They're never demonetized. They're never banished. And yet they print disinformation. And I'll give you the classic story. Russian tanks in the Mexican jungles. And that simply is not the case. Russians did sell tanks to Nicaragua. And my first reaction, could that have happened? But listen to this story, Paul. This is just incredible. This guy gets on YouTube and he says, well, yeah, a guy was crossing over the border in a car into Mexico and he pulled over the road to take a leak and he saw thousands and thousands and thousands of tanks. And it turns out the story is 9 years old. They're selling this as current news.
Right.
And this is the kind of disinformation that George Soros and the UN is engaged in as they're trying to infiltrate the independent media to try to dilute our message, to confuse the public as to what's really going on.
Well, you know, it was kind of interesting to talk about the delusion of the message in that over the last 4 or 5 days, actually, I think it was about a 4-day period, the Drudge Report landing page never changed on my computers. I mean, the computers functioned and did everything they're supposed to do, but the Drudge Report, no matter, even if I went and opened up another Drudge Report, it was still the same landing page. It's the one with the Snoopy with the head down business. And so finally, I went to another computer at a private residence yesterday, and sure enough, I pulled up the new recent Drudge Report. So I went to the radio studio last night, and sure enough, it pulled up the new Drudge Report, and I came home, and there was the old one. But, you know, that's just a little bit of what's going on, as you know, with emails, even with people like us and our website. You know, when the campfire started, and it was just, I mean, literally in the morning, I started experiencing during the radio show when the campfire was really starting to take off on the 8th, my website was starting to go down. Ultimately, it did go down and was down for 5 days. I couldn't get it back up, even with my providers. That's important because people watch, especially in this area, everything that goes on with my website vis-a-vis Butte County and the disasters, as you know, with the Oroville Dam situation, because the Oroville Dam and this fire are just a couple miles apart. So that's kind of interesting. Plus, a lot of my shows were being tweaked with and stuff. This is the stuff that we are to expect, and demonetizing, delisting, all this stuff is going to be the rough road ahead for all of us now, unfortunately, because they are coming after everybody wholesale.
Well, I've experienced the exact same thing. In fact, I was talking to a person who's an expert today, and I explained that same problem, that some people are telling me that my new articles aren't appearing for 5 days. Exactly what you just described with Drudge, I'm experiencing. We don't know what the percentage is, but we know our numbers on our website have dropped precipitously, which will happen during these kinds of times. And now we're working on fixing the problem. So when it happens to Drudge, happens to you, happens to me, it's no longer just system malfunction. It's deliberate sabotage.
Right. Because they know we have the answers to what's going on. And we, you know, our predictions have all come true now. Their problem is that our predictions have all come true now. And that the bulk of the people now know what's going on. And, you know, it's kind of interesting with the new California state movement. I talk to people all up and down the state of California every day. So I have a really good feel about what's going on. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you talk about election fraud. California is King Kong. Absolute election fraud with the provisional ballots all the way through the election system. It's just unbelievable as we've marched into the new oblivion, if you will, for electioneering in America. As far as I'm concerned, the election system in America is done, kaput, and certainly in California. It's a complete fraud. But getting into the rest of it, when I talk to people all around the state, and even from the nation now, everybody seems to be in a level of understanding about what's really truly going on. They're watching this thing come across the border, and they realize it's wrong. They've been lied to. They were had. You know, when you look at the Jim Acosta situation, when he took that microphone, wouldn't give up the microphone to the intern. What was he asking about? He was basically lecturing the president that these people that are in the caravans are harmless. There's thousands of miles away. That what harm are they to America?
Thousands of miles. Yeah.
It was just absolutely. They're trying to cover up for the fact that they are caravans and they're really filled with men that are of fighting age. And a lot of these men are pretty unsavory, MS-30, all the things that we've been saying, the kind of people that would be in these caravans are there. And Jim Acosta weeks ago was denying that
Jim Acosta said, they're hundreds of miles away, Mr. President. And the next day they showed up at Tijuana.
Yeah, they got on those big white buses.
Yeah. Funded by George Soros, British company. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, and that's the thing that really gets to me. And Paul, because we've traveled down this road very briefly, I just want to say this to our listening audience. Some of you are new to the movement, and you're understanding that things aren't the way they're supposed to be. And you're thinking, gee, I don't know who to trust because Dave is saying there's disinfo people out there. Hear me and hear me clearly. The people you should trust are the people that have been around for a long time. You know, people like my guest right here, Paul Preston, Paul Martin, Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman, the old stalwarts, you know, the people that have the reputations for being truth tellers. That's where you should put your trust right now. I'm closing down my circle. My circle, inner circle, is getting very, very tight. And I'm only letting in people that I absolutely know very well. And a lot of us are saying the same thing right now. We are being infiltrated. And there's absolutely no question. But you, the public, can tell the truth if you stick to the old reliable sources like Paul Preston. So I just wanted to make sure that I said that, because our message is the one true message that's out there. You know, one other thing too about the border that greatly disturbs me is that my DHS contact, actually one of the two DHS people that I talked to, said, Dave, it's good that we focus on the border, and I'm glad you are, but you need to focus on the interior. Mm-hmm. He said that's where the action is going to be. Do you agree with that?
100%.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, this has been, you know, starting from the whole gang system and the growth of gangs in the 70s and 80s in California, then spreading to the rest of the nation, the gangs that we know, gangsta style stuff. And you know, I know that we've had gangs in our nation's history, but not as organized and articulated as we've seen coming out of Los Angeles and so on. These have been very, very well purpose driven. Organized events, and I know a lot, and of course part of that is the breakup of the family is added to it, because gang kids, the boys in particular, you know, had to go find a sense of belonging in a gang rather than a family, because father Sure. wasn't around. I mean, it was just kind of a this is part of their plan. But the notion in of what's going on in the interior really has been, I think, a function of the gangs themselves, in that the gangs are very, very well organized. They have got places, locations, and of course their ability to mount operations. And it's been kind of interesting, because I was talking to some old school gangsters today. Of all, you know, this is really gang parlance, people that were in gangs in the 40s and 50s. And how much they're still influencing their own communities, but they're very conservative now, and they see it like we do. And of course, they don't like too much what's going on with these gangsters or these people, the cartels that are funneling people across the border in Tijuana. But there's quite a network within the gangster system itself, and there's quite a network, of course, now that we know, an operational network from the terrorists that are here, starting with ISIS and of course all the way through with the Nicaraguans and MS-13. It's very well sophisticated. They've moved inland. They've penetrated virtually every state now. And against my warnings back in the 90s when I was a school administrator, telling people, they're moving into your communities, Georgia. And, of course, in denial that would be the case. But this whole network is well-established. It's embedded. And they're going to start doing some real damage, especially if we don't get a hold of it. That's my biggest concern. This is what we were talking about and calling out people for, to be aware of this and trying to stop these caravans that were internal to our country. Because you might remember that it was the Obama administration that was importing a lot of people from other foreign countries here. Yes. In the United States illegally.
Yeah.
Illegally. and setting them up in various communities, actually even, you know, cloud and pivoting a lot of communities here we have in the United States today, overrunning them. That's something that everybody, I think, around the country understands now. When those big old white buses show up and people get out in your community, you're stuck with all these people. And how do you service them? Well, they overrun the community and the services. They're here, they're now, and then, of course, they're weaponized. And we have talked, I know, Dave, extensively on the there is a vast network out here of weapons that have been stockpiled in various locations in and around major cities. And that is a big concern because they're going to come to get those weapons at certain times, and that is could be in our near future.
I have a news report on that, too, and I don't know if you have heard, but I interviewed Paul Martin of RevolutionRadio.org last week on this issue, and he had an inside source, and this man has great sources that always end up being right. And this source told him that basically what I was told, you know, Dave, just don't focus on the border, focus on internally. He said there are large weapons caches that have been deposited at various cities around the country, and they are Russian weapons. Well, I took this a step further. I went to some of my sources and I said, why Russian sources? Why Russian weapons? I mean, because I don't think the Russians are a part of this at this point in time. And I was told, you're right. They're trying to frame the Russians.
Right.
They're trying to keep the Russians and the Americans apart from forming an alliance. And they want to have a false flag event involving Russians. Do you know anything about this at all?
Yeah. This has basically been the grand plan. This is one of the reasons why the Mueller investigation in Russia is going on, because you have basically two ideologies that are driving this, and you've got the ideologies that are those that the terrorist ideology, I guess you can say radical Islam and some of the other religionist groups out there, the Nazis, the communists. They don't really much like Vladimir Putin, and they certainly don't like Donald Trump. So this whole framing of Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump together is something I can see them doing very easily. You got to remember that during the Obama administration and also during with Hillary Clinton on board, that those were the two people that were responsible for financing the terrorists and especially forming ISIS. A lot of people don't know this story or don't understand it, but it was at our Liberty Tour on July 11th, 2015. When Scott Bennett, who was an Army psychological operator, when Scott Bennett, who had been released from federal prison after 2 years, came out and basically outed Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama as the sources of funds for ISIS.
Yes,
now, it's kind
absolutely.
Nobody knew that, and we put it out on a YouTube, and the thing went absolutely viral. Well, within a month, less than a month actually, I get a call from the Russian embassy, and not an embassy, but a Russian official from RT. And he said, we just saw this videotape and we passed it on to Vladimir Putin. I said, oh, great. Because he was calling basically to confirm and fact check the existence of Scott Bennett and all of the stuff that was in it, because it was I produced it and sponsored it. And so he said, wow. He said, yeah, that's why we passed it on to him. Now, what had happened, and unbeknownst to us, but about a week later, after that little pronouncement, they started bombing Iraq. And well, who were they bombing? ISIS in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Remember, ISIS was stealing the oil from the Iraqi people.
Yes.
And then funneling it off to Erdogan over there in Turkey. In fact, it was Erdogan's son who was brokering the oil. And so then Russia just flat out opened it up and started bombing ISIS. And it really upset the Obama administration. How dare you upset? How dare you bomb our people, the people that we set up? Remember, this goes into the whole thing about when Obama was elected, we got the Arab Spring, and we got the huge revolutions in the Middle East that ultimately led to all the caravans and 15 million migrants coming into Europe, illegal foreign nationals. So, you know, people forget about that. Well, you know, I haven't forgot about it. And by the way, why should we forget about this now when we have potentially not one but maybe 25 million people that could potentially come across our own border right now? And why? Because they're displaced.
I got a much larger figure. I've been told that when it's all over, we could see 150 million. And this comes from deep inside sources. Let me throw one other thing at you regarding Scott Bennett. When that story broke, you put me in contact with Scott Bennett, and I immediately interviewed him on this. But let me tell you what happened that same day I interviewed Scott on the same story that you're reporting on with the involvement of the Russians and the subsequent bombing of ISIS in Iraq. I came across information, and I published it at the same time, that Hillary Clinton had one time been on the board of directors for a company called Lafarge, a French company.
Right.
And they were the first company out of Europe and in the Middle East that actually did financial transactions with ISIS, and Hillary Clinton was on the board.
She was on the board of directors, right. I know there's several other corporations where they were on the board of directors as well. But, you know, the thing that a lot of people don't understand is and this is where when Scott came out with all this, was the connect the dot to Benghazi. Because at the time, prior to Scott coming out with his information and right after Benghazi, the Citizens Commission on Benghazi was put together with Admiral Ace Lyons and Claire Lopez and so on. Well, mm-hmm. once this group got together, they quickly realized that these the money was coming from the United States. Actually, they didn't identify where the money was from, but they knew that the weapons were all from the United States, and also weapons that were being gathered in Benghazi from the stockpiles of Muammar Gaddafi by the people, like you saw in the movie, Fit 13 Hours.
Yes.
They were gathering up these weapons and shipping the weapons off to Turkey, who then was downloading those weapons. About the first shipment was 800 tons, so that ISIS would have its weaponry and everything else. And, of course, then after that, the Iraqi army stood down and turned over all the military equipment of the Iraqi army to ISIS. Remember that?
Yeah, but it was even worse than that, because American military equipment was left behind on the subsequent pullout. And John McCain was the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and he ordered it left alone. And by law, we were supposed to have destroyed that equipment, and we didn't. We let ISIS grab it.
Yeah, kind of interesting why John McCain plays very, very big in the Syrian war about going after Assad. Now, see, I don't support anybody in the war in particular, although I do understand that Mr. Assad allowed all religions to live together in pretty much harmony until ISIS showed up. And, of course, what people don't really understand is that Syria sits right – it's sort of like a plug that prevents the Sunni Muslims from invading Russia. And that's why it's so important to Putin to protect Russia through Syria, so he doesn't have to protect Russia against the Muslims inside the continent. Now, here's the bigger rub, which gets into Ukraine. I know I'm moving along at a pretty fast pace, and people need to see some of the articles that you and I have posted about Ukraine, because you need to understand some things. That when Benghazi collapsed, after the incident in Benghazi in September 11, 2012, Petraeus was let go as the CIA director, and then who was brought in but John Brennan. And his first task in 2013 as the CIA director was to go to the Ukraine and set up an opposition party against the duly elected president of the Ukraine, who was a Russian leading president. And when he did that, he created a revolution that took place in 2013 and caused the overthrow of that individual. And who was involved in that? James Comey was involved in that, the FBI director. He made a trip over there. Who else was over there and involved? Robert Mueller. The usual suspects start to show up. And then, of course, John Kerry. Not only John Kerry, but then Joe Biden, his son. His son, Joe Biden, and John Kerry's stepson, they got involved, and what they ended up being was becoming the lobbyist for their large energy. They each got $1 billion apiece to do their work in there. And of course, basically what it was is a cash fountainhead for these people. They were literally ripping off the Ukraine at the time. Now, it goes even deeper than this. Because what happened is the Ukraine became a proxy agent of Islam, radical Islam, through ISIS. And that, of course, bothered the heck out of Putin. And he invaded the Crimea. He did all the things that everybody's vilified him for. But he's basically trying to protect his country so that his country doesn't get overrun by Islam. Now, that's a fundamental, that's a truth. And the bigger, broader picture is that the Ukraine was a manufacturing hub and agricultural center for the Soviet Union. And they made a lot of rockets and a lot of motors and a lot of spaceships. And, of course, at the end of the Cold War, they started selling them off. Well, it's kind of interesting. As soon as they were taken over by the Nazis, as I call them, that Brennan led, they started selling components. Are you ready for this? To North Korea.
Yes.
They started selling these big Soviet intercontinental ballistic missiles to North Korea. And gee whiz, what could possibly go wrong there? That's why when Trump came on board, he started shutting everything down, because they were like real legitimate rockets who could reach the West Coast and actually even the center of the country.
Well, there's one more step to this too, that, and I want to see if you agree with this or not. But when we look at these influences, Brennan and so forth, the Muslim Brotherhood was heavily involved, and that brings in the Nazi influence you just referenced, along with the CIA support for it.
Right.
In fact, when they did the revolution and forced that legitimate government out of power, they were using CIA assets as snipers to take out key people in the government at that time to force the capitulation. But the Muslim Brotherhood played heavily. And, Paul, let me jump back across the ocean. I did articles 5 years ago at the encouragement of Steve Quayle. I did one, and Steve says, you got to do more on these. And I was covering people that were working inside the Obama administration in key positions like in DHS that weren't just Muslims. Muslims are fine. They can serve in government. They're Americans. They serve the Constitution. We're talking people that had Muslim Brotherhood ties, were working inside the Obama administration in key positions. Were you aware of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They've been infiltrated and embedded for years upon years. The Forest Service, every bureaucracy has these bad actors. And this is the swamp, the real swamp that Trump is having to take out. You know, here you just the other day, you had a classic example with the release of this global warming concern by the federal government. What a bunch of BS. This is a product that has been put forth by the holdovers, the deep state actors, if you will, of the Obama administration. They're leftovers. They're here, and this is what they produced. And don't you find it odd that it comes out that right here in California with this brutal fire, we're still looking at perhaps as many as 3,000 people missing and dead. Oh, I want you, your audience to grasp that. Now, we don't. That's a dynamic number, and God, I want it to go down to much smaller. But these are the numbers we're looking at, the fundamentals, and you know this is mass murder. And now they come out with the thing about climate change and global warming as being this big bugaboo. Well, you know, like I tell my audience, climate change did not start these fires.
Well, yeah, there's another element to this, and I don't know if you've seen this. And I did an article a few days ago on this, in which I covered a joint study with Harvard and Yale scientists, and they were saying they're back to using the term global warming now, and they're moving away from climate change again. And they're saying to combat global warming, we need to put particulates in the air 12 miles up in the lower stratosphere. And I mean, this is in a research journal. One of the things I used to do, I used to supervise dissertations at a university, so I know how to interpret research. I went and looked at their original research. It was pure garbage. They wouldn't have got out of my midterm with this, but let's just leave it as it is and say that it's professional. But what they ended up saying was they're admitting the fact that chemtrails, in theory, are correct, and all these years, anyone who talked about chemtrails was a conspiracy nut, and now they're admitting to it.
Yeah, they're admitting to it.
And they want to do it. You know what they want? They want public funding. That's why they're admitting to it now.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting is it's the chemtrails led directly to the inferno that happened up here. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand what's in these chemtrails. The main component is aluminum oxide. Well, you take aluminum oxide and you put it together with iron rust, put a little magnesium strip in there and set it off, and guess what? You've got thermite. I mean, aluminum oxide is a rapid accelerant, and they're nanoparticulate particles that come out, and they float around. They're sprayed out by the aircraft. You have selenium and barium and other compounds, and they're also accelerants. And they come flowing down, and they're designed, they say, oh, it reflects the heat. BS. It can't reflect the heat. You know, I mean, it's kind of interesting, this whole notion about global warming. I used to teach my kids all the time about global warming. I used to talk about it as part of the components of what we talk about in science. And I always used to tell them the big heater, the thing that really cools and heats our Earth, is the sun. And so I'd go through this whole situation. I'd say, look, the sun is responsible for global warming. How can you say and even propose in the remotest that our slight influence on the atmosphere of all of mankind and all, it could be any more powerful than the sun on any given day? You can't. It's just proportionally impossible. So I used to tell the kids, I said, you know, global warming happens on the Earth. When the globe warms, consequently, so does the moon. Did you know that? And I used to teach this to some, and kids would go, really? Really? And then not only that, but you could track that Mars and Venus and Neptune and Saturn and even Uranus warms by the sun. And everybody's like, what? I said, yeah, and by the way, guess what? When the Earth cools, so does the Moon, so does Venus, so does Mars, so does Neptune, so does Saturn, and so does Uranus. It all cools exactly proportionally the same. That's what global warming is about. It's about the sun. It's not about cars, and it's not about smog. It's not, and carbon dioxide. Good God! You know, I always tell people, I want to see Obama in my chemistry class. And we'll have a little talk about. I can see him back in the classroom, all whacked out, in I would call drool mode, too much ganja the night before, and to try and teach him about what carbon is, or Jerry Brown. Neither one of these guys even had the remotest idea what carbon is. I would ask them the question: Can you tell us what the element carbon is? And you know the response is, and of course, you probably picked up on what I did as a teacher. I gave the answer to the question. It's an element.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right on the money. I've done the same kind of inquiry approach when I used to teach Sociology 101. I would give the students a set of questions. I'll give you two of them here as an example. How much CO2 does man actually produce? And let's look for commonality of research studies. Let's look at 15 studies and see what they say. And we found about an 80% concordance rate that the number was less than 4%. And then I asked the question, I said, well, based on what is being said, how much could man mitigate this if we did away with all of our energy usage? And we went back to primitive times. And the answer is way less than 1%. So it's a fool's errand. This is what you're saying, and I'm telling you, I'm here to validate this from another angle. It's a fool's errand to say that we can do anything about it. There is climate change, but the vast majority of it is non-human made.
It's silly to even think that we could have any kind of influence, we people. But you know, getting back to the bigger point about these chemtrails and an understanding about those, we have been chemtrailed since the 90s on this planet.
Yes.
And here in California, and where I sit in this valley here, it's very evident when we get chemtrailed. And the net effect is that, you know, these chemicals, they filter slowly down onto the ground. And we breathe it in. And these things are nanoparticulates. We breathe it in. It gets into our bloodstream. It gets into our bones because, you know, absolutely, the bones have a circulatory system. So it embeds in bones. It's all in living planets. The plants around where I live, a lot of them are, especially up in the towards the foothills, are desiccated. Now, desiccated means that the plants are sick. They're sick because they can no longer transfer water up into their leaves, and they're dying. And so they become brittle. And, of course, all their tissues are saturated with the aluminum oxide and the other compounds. Now, what happened here in this particular situation, like all the other fires, especially Santa Rosa? When I went to Santa Rosa the week before they had the fire there to give a speech, as a biologist, I got out and started checking the health of plants. Now, you say, oh, that's kind of random. Well, it was only because I looked at the plants and I said, gosh, you know, everywhere in the community, it looked like they're dying. And so that's what I jumped out and started looking at some of the plant leaves. It's just sheer desiccation. And, of course, a week later, it burned. Now, what does that mean when it burns? It means that you have an accelerant in the tissues of the plants. It also means you have an accelerant in the tissues of humans. So when the fire hits them, it rages at a very high temperature, somewhere around 3,000 degrees. So now what we have are victims.
Are you saying the humans are a conductive agent then?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what explains
it that way.
Yeah. And, of course, if you go look at what goes on with the cremation, you know, crematoriums burn at around 1,900 to 2,100 degrees. Well, it burns you into a pile of ash. That's nice, the soft tissues. But it also leaves the bones behind. And the bones still have to be crushed and pulverized to complete the cremation. But not in this case, when you have all the accelerants in your tissues and you burn around 3,000 degrees or 4,000 degrees, whatever the temperature happens to be from having that stuff embedded, you become vaporized, literally. It becomes like Hiroshima. You find bone chips.
Is it like a lightning rod?
Well, yeah, kind of. And what
humans are like a lightning rod, is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, and they disintegrate and turn into ash. That's what's happened to all these victims up there. That's why they can't find them. Look, I've been up there. This is my fifth time up there. I watched these teams trying to find remains, and they've got teams of about 12 individuals. They're dressed up in white suits. They drive around in white vans. And the sheriff goes out in the lead and goes to residences where they think that there might be a body. And they pop these people out and they inspect the property and they pop them back in if they don't find anything. If they find something, then they start marking where the bodies are. It's a very grisly. And these people are trying to do this. This is God's work. But, you know, the problem that we have, we just had a rain. Well, where did all the ashes from those bodies go? That's why it's difficult to find the bodies.
That's amazing. You know, let me tell you, I had a conversation with a military historian from one of the service academies, and obviously I'm going to be a little vague. And he told me that what's going on in Northern California reminds him of the details of the firebombing that we did to the Germans at the Dresden bombing.
In Dresden, right.
Do you agree with him?
Absolutely. This is like a Dresden. When you go there, actually, you get the feel of a nuclear wasteland, just like you'd see the pictures in, you know, from Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Well, Dresden, in many ways, was worse than Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they used accelerants when they dropped the bombs. That's why they call them fire bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly, this is the same thing. They're Dresdening the people in Northern California.
Then. Right, and all around California. In fact, I was on a conference call for New California, and one of the big problems that we have out here, and I've been pounding on the table since the Oroville Dam situation, there's absolutely no early warning system here in California or in this area to tell people in advance there's going to be this fire coming, even give them a moment's notice. You know, they went around in this area about 6 years ago and deliberately, Dave, took down all the whalers and horns off the fire departments. Now, why would they do that? So that people wouldn't be warned. I mean,
I don't understand. Are they trying to promote mass casualties by doing this? Is that what you're alleging?
I'm absolutely saying they're promoting mass murder here.
My God.
Absolutely.
It's not a matter of just turning it loose and letting nature take its course. You're saying they're actively planning to absolutely increase the casualty count.
Absolutely. And, of course, there's more evidence, the evidence being that Jerry Brown has refused over the years to clear the forest. And so was the Obama administration guilty of that for the last 8 years. And so was the Bush administration and others in federal lands that didn't properly clear. And, of course, they tried to blame it on Trump, who's only been there for less than 2 years. Yeah, it's impossible for him to change that whole thing. But it was all these policies that he's trying to change right now with Ryan Zinke. And, of course, Trump made them, you know, he took their faces and stuffed it right in it for Brown and Newsom when he showed up out here. And he said that he's going to provide money. That money is going to be used for the clearing of land and to bring down the duff, the various wood and stuff like that that's collected on the forest floor, and also the chaparrals. There needs to be code enforcement. my understanding, I used to live in Butte County, and every year there would be somebody from the county that would come out and want to know and would make sure that the brush and everything was kept down real, real low. And if you didn't do that, they got a fine for you. Well, that's real nice. Well, they hadn't been doing that for the last couple of years. That's kind of interesting. Oh, but, you know, there's better, more stuff than that. They came up here with the Agenda 21 traffic calming business. And, you know, I went and saw this for myself. I'd heard about that they had this up there. I suspected that they did. I hadn't really noticed. I had gone into Paradise about a year ago in a different direction. But in the center of town, they took about two lanes of traffic out of a four-lane traffic road in the center of town. And what did they do? They put in bike paths along the sides. And when they did that, they put in these curbs that cut into the original lane that they were cutting off, making the lane useless to drive on. So when it came to evacuate for the fire, it created choke points, and everybody died in the cars.
What?
Oh, no. Yeah.
You're alleging that this design was done intentionally to increase casualty counts in an evacuation?
Yeah, absolutely.
My God, that's
there's only one conclusion you can come to when you put all these facts together. There's no early warning system for anybody. No one knew what was going on. There was mass confusion. They get in their cars to try and escape, and you know, here's the sheriff's department out there warning people to get them out. They're trying to get out in orderly fashion, and they can't do it because the traffic is clogged. The fire is raging at such a high degree. Because all the plants are incinerating around everybody. Chaos is ensuing. That's what was going on. And this is mass murder, and this is by design.
Okay, why are these people in particular being targeted? Is there a demographic? Is there a specific reason why these people were targeted and not somewhere else in the state or the country?
Well, what you have is in these rural areas, you have a lot of retirement centers. And Paradise, of course, and Magalia are two big retirement centers. A lot of retirees live there. And, you know, this is a demographic that they want to get rid of, the elderly. And this is what they targeted. They targeted this group of people. And these people are very, very proactive, great Americans. You know, the other part of it is institutional knowledge, taking out institutional knowledge from a generation that knew the Constitution and was teaching the Constitution and passing it on. That's something that everybody's looking at. Every community that's been hit hard, the car fire, the lake fire, all these have been high density for retirements.
Let's go back to the road construction for a second. You said the bike lanes cut out two of the four lanes and that one of the lanes was rendered useless because of the way the curbs came out. Are you describing roundabouts?
Oh, the roundabouts too, yeah.
Okay, so is this an addition to roundabouts, what you're talking about?
You're right, exactly.
You describe it a little more detail?
Well,
trouble visualizing this.
Okay, if you're going down the road and you're just imagine there's curbing on the road, right? When you see a normal road, there's curbing. Mm-hmm. And what they've done is that they've taken the curb and pushed it out into the lane and then curved it back in. And that's to prevent people from driving in the bike lane. It's called traffic calming.
But it reduces the effectiveness of one of the lanes, so it would slow down an evacuation. Is that
what you're absolutely hearing? Yeah, it creates a choke point. Right. Yeah, there's pictures of these things, and it's a choke point.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Where's Trump on this? Is he aware of this at this level?
He is. That is a problem for them.
Where's the DOJ? I mean, this should already be acted on.
Well, yes and no, and I don't know. But I do know that he's aware of this because it was pretty evident he was aware of it when he was out here with Jerry Brown. And that's why Jerry Brown, if you take a look at him, he looked like he was a bootlicker to Donald Trump. And he was, because Trump called him out and said, we're going to clean up these forests because you haven't, basically. And people have died because you've allowed it to happen in your own state. You see, we have this thing called disaster capitalism out here. And Jerry Brown has been a master at it, starting these fires, having these fires. All these fires, for the most part, are started. It's no accident that they get started. And, you know, this is the gig in town to start a fire and have a big catastrophe, and all of a sudden you have huge capitalistic behavior that comes in as a result of it. You know, you bring in FEMA, you bring in the big dollars, you bring in all this stuff. That's what's going on.
I'm speechless at this because we're not just talking about burning people out. We're talking about increasing casualty counts, murdering a particular demographic to achieve a particular political aim.
Right. That's right.
And I think that I would imagine the reason, let me just speculate for a second. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but let me tell you where my mind is going on this, Paul. With your work in New California, the legitimate attempt to create a 51st state following the constitutional process to the letter, and you're looking at people who would be supporting you that would be largely Republican, conservative, right, elderly, and retired. That's the demographic. And the people who would be against CalExit would be the same group, and the CalExit people are the George Soros, the Obamas, and the Bank of China, and the Mexican consulate, and all the people we know that were part of it. And you're saying that that side is the one that's perpetrating mass murder against the side that would support New California. Am I reducing this too low of a level, or
well,
or what?
You have to throw in, you know, basically the elements of the globalist United Nations, you know.
Because CalExit is supposed to have California exit and become a protectorate of the UN. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Man. So I'm not overstating this when I'm saying this is a definite political attack. It's a war going on between CalExit and New California and the federal government.
I believe so.
I think you've made a very good case. Paul, I have to tell you, I pride myself on being on top of these things, and you have totally caught me proverbially with my pants down. I absolutely had no clue it came down to this level. You are the first person to make sense out of this. Now, I briefly had a conversation with Deborah Tavares, and she was in Cuba when all this started, and she came back, and I was having a hard time getting a hold of her, and I was doing a welfare check on her, and we agreed that we're going to talk a little later in the week. And I have a feeling she has a piece of this, too.
Yes, but Paul, I'm sure she does.
I have never had anyone explain it this way to me, that this is outright murder, genocide, and warfare. It's just not about burning out an area for the hell of it. We're talking about specific targeted populations based on demographics.
Well, the other thing, too, that we're looking into and have a team of people working with us now is the whole laser warfare business and targeting various properties, because it's clear that a lot of the burning has just been burning. I'll give you that, because of the buildup of all the brush and so on the ground. But clearly, when you start to look at a lot of the homes that weren't destroyed, you realize they did not have a smart meter, or that the house was not electrified. And as an example, there's a whole bunch of spec homes. They all have smart meters, but they did not have the power onto them, and they survived. All the ones that had smart meters, they all perished. And, of course, we saw that in Sonoma and Santa Rosa, the same thing. Houses that people were smart enough to take the smart meter off, they survived. And Deborah can tell you, she's the specialist in that. She can tell you, because she and I were giving a speech together in the same house that was one of the ones that survived the Santa Rosa fire, where all the other houses that were around there then were burned to the ground.
We're going short on time here, so I just want to make sure I'm getting this. Are you saying the smart meter is like an antenna to attract a fire?
Yep. Well, to attract some sort of signal, either a microwave
Right. So, in other words, that's what's referred to, I would guess, as directed energy weapons.
Right.
And the focal point would be the target would be the smart meter.
Targeting, right. And there's some very, very good pictures out there about the car fire where they slipped and missed. And the houses started to burn on the inside, but it wasn't a high intensity. That's because they kind of missed their targeting on the smart meter. And there's smart meter pictures out there galore that show that.
How do they target? I mean, what's the mechanism? I don't imagine they have access to satellites in space, or do they?
They do.
How do they? Oh, they do.
Right. there's some really good videos out there about a certain corporation that makes these devices, and they're very, very clear, and they're very proud of the devices that they make. Let's hope they're not making them against killing you and I and everybody, any other American citizen, like what we've seen here.
They could start a house fire isolated to a neighborhood just to that house by somehow honing in on your smart meter and sending that directed energy beam. Is that what you're saying?
It seems to me that the smart meter is the real deal that that brings the weaponry in.
Color me stupid. I'm just flabbergasted. I mean, I've known of the smart meter dangers from people like Virginia Farver about the increased radiation and disruption of your circadian rhythms and all that. I mean, I understand that scientifically from that point of view. I never thought it was part of a weapon system.
Yeah, they weaponized the homes.
So literally, they don't have to dial up ordnance on your doorstep.
No.
They have the ordnance. It's your smart meter.
Why do you think Korea has not launched any missiles, Dave? Those missiles will be taken out as soon as they get 5 feet above the ground by these same weapons.
Where do the delivery agents mostly emanate from? Is it from space?
It's a mix, from what I understand.
All right, talk about the ground-based application. What does that look like? How is it organized?
I'd rather not, but I would refer. There's a greater explanation that maybe you and I can talk about later. There's a great. I don't want to say the company on air, but there's a great videos that are out there that show this exact stuff that I'm talking about, and your listeners can go to YouTube and see it.
I'll see it. I've seen it. It's called PG&E.
Well, that's PG&E is part of it, and so is Southern California Edison and these electric companies. But we're talking about there are weapon systems that are being utilized that the U.S. government has built.
So now we're bringing in DARPA.
Yeah. So that's why I say when the deep state is the responsible agent here. You know, they've gone rogue, obviously.
What's to keep them from bringing down Air Force One or Marine One?
Well, I think they've tried. They just haven't been successful.
Do you have any reason to believe they've tried?
Yep.
How many times do you think that President Trump has been the direct target of an assassination?
Well, my understanding is at least three times.
I've been told a dozen.
That may be, yeah.
Yeah, I've been told a dozen. And we had a discussion many months ago on this show about the Shining Path, which is really the Sanchez-Paredes drug cartel that brings together Middle East terrorists, the drug cartels, and turns them into a paramilitary force in El Salvador. But they were the ones that were going to assassinate Trump if he were to go to South America last April. And let me tell you what I've learned, and this is what's sending shivers up my spine, Paul, and this is why my demeanor changed so dramatically. I was told that the delivery mechanism they were going to use to kill Trump wasn't an assassin in a church tower or anything like that. It was a directed energy weapon when the president was going to be in the air.
Right.
Do you know anything about that?
You know, I don't want to say anything about that, but I do know that...
you've got inside information you can't
reveal. I'm just saying that I'm very, very familiar with what happened in South America, yes. What was going on there.
Am I warm, or do I need to look further?
I think you need to look further. But okay. There was an attempt on the president's life there. It would have been. He didn't go.
This is... let me give you something else that I've been told, because you've just opened up a whole can of worms, I think, without realizing it with me. And we're a little bit in overtime. That's okay, because this is going for our Friday broadcast, which is 7 minutes longer. So we've got about 3 minutes left here, and I got time to go down this avenue. I've been told that these kinds of weapon systems are going to be used to target Border Patrol agents away from the ports of entry and open up avenues of bum rushes across the border, not ports of entry. Do you have any information on that?
I'm not talking about the border. Just don't
is it because you can't or you don't know?
I'm just not talking about the border and anything operational out there. It's just not appropriate.
Well, if they're being targeted, I think we need to really expose this. And I'll tell you why, Paul. The public right now, the way I see it, okay, we've got 20% of us that are awake to various degrees. And we've got 30, 40% of the country that's beyond reach. I mean, they're just so lost. They don't know who to follow or what they're following. But you've got that in-between mass of independents that need to have this kind of information so they can start making intelligent decisions on what side they better get behind and get behind it, you know, with all due haste.
Well, and then there's those that are just never going to get behind it. You know, that's the sad thing. But that's, you know, we are trying to do the best we can. And we do a lot of really good work, Dave, as you know, by putting out these warning signals. And we have been putting out these warning signals for years ad nauseum. And it's almost kind of like, whew, we're over the warning part of this. Now we're actually at it. And where are we going to go from here? And some of the most important things I tell people is you better put your head on a swivel no matter where you're at in this country right now, because these people are all around. They're ubiquitous in the system. And these the terrorists from South America, you know, the Shining Path folks, this has all been part of their plan. And here they are. They're here in this country now, and they're weaponizing them.
And for those they don't take out with directed energy weapons, can people who are upsetting the apple cart expect visits from MS-13?
Absolutely. That's what MS-13 is trained for. That's what they're assassins. They're trained to assassinate people.
Yes, that's how the cartels use them in Mexico.
Right.
Man. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but 4 years ago I received a letter from a man who purported to be a high-ranking Texas Ranger. And a lot of people have looked at that letter and said it looked legit. And in there he said the intel they had was that these people who were going to engage in these incursions, they had intel that said they were going to take over small towns, execute police departments, and then try to make their exit. Do you know anything about this with regard to across the border action and not just Texas?
I've heard it's going to happen all around the country.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, and no, this is, and by the way, the news, this information, as you know, Dave, we've been hearing this for quite a long time. Now they're going to just turn it into an action. It's actionable with them now. They're at that point now where we cannot, you know, we've warned everybody. We're going to continue to have to warn people, but this is going to happen. Yeah, this is their
all
plan.
Right. Well, Paul, we are out of time, and here's the thing that I feel like we're leaving in the middle of a movie right now. I mean, that's the incomplete feeling I get. We've got to follow up on this fairly quickly, so I'm going to put my nose to the grindstone here and try to come up with more answers and questions for you. I'll be in touch with you shortly to try to set up a follow-up here, because I feel that we're just getting to that point. Paul, thanks so much for joining us. We're right up against the end, and we got to scoot. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a special report of the Common Sense Show with Paul Preston, and you can definitely look for a follow-up. Paul, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, Paul, you kind of rocked my world on this one. I wasn't expecting all this.